You're listening to The Stormcast, stories of generosity in the midst of disaster. Join Reverend Dr. Art McClanahan as he explores the impact of Hurricane Florence and how United Methodist Churches in North Carolina are making a difference in their communities.
Reverend Russ Nanny is pastor of the Harbor United Methodist Church in Wilmington, North Carolina. Russ, tell me a little bit about the experience that Harbor had during the onset of Hurricane Florence.
Well, it was, we weren't really sure what to expect initially because I thought that our church would definitely be structurally impacted by the storm. But thankfully, we had several downed trees and some minor flooding. But after a day or two, we were operational again. And at that point, we began hosting lunches for the community, soup and sandwiches, and just for anyone who could come in. And it was a wide variety of people who stopped by. We had folks who were tree cutters and linemen, who were volunteers from other parts of the state who just wanted a good, warm, free lunch that they didn't have to pay for. We had people who came in who were truly suffering from levels of PTSD, who were walking in shaking, and they just kind of broke down to the first person they saw or the first person that talked to them. We had people who just wanted to make a connection, to want to know they weren't alone in all of this. And so it was beautiful seeing the community come together, and it was a different story for each person who walked in the doors. And so that's what we did in the first week. And then after that, we discovered there was a real need for these people who had been contracted out by FEMA, mainly tree cutters, who had come out of state to help our community. They didn't have a place to stay. And so they were sleeping in, you know, the Walmart parking lot or some, you know, high school parking lot. And so we opened up our facilities. We have showers, and they were incredibly grateful. I had no idea. I mean, these guys hadn't showered in 4 or 5 days, and they hadn't slept in a comfortable spot. And so we let them use our couches, and we brought in air mattresses, and we had some people from the Cajun Navy. We had just some random volunteers out of state who were coming in to help, and some tree cutters who were working around our church. And so they were here for about 2 weeks. And then after they left, right as they left, the Red Cross shelter, they had about 70 people who were displaced. And they were really desperate to find a place to house these 70 folks. They had spent the previous night in a warehouse that was, I mean, should have been condemned. It had rodents and no air condition, and it was dirty and smelly. But that was like the only place they could find. And it just so happened that I heard about this through Harbor District. And so we opened our doors, and thankfully, once I signed the contract, within 3 hours, they transformed the back of our church into a little village, a little community. And they brought in tents and showers and additional bathrooms. And they just came in with a team of volunteers and just transformed our church into a little city. It was just remarkable. And so right now, we've been doing this for 2 weeks. Right now, we've got 40 people who are still here, slowly and slowly, we're getting people to leave and to find homes. And we're happy they're here, but we want them to leave as soon as possible because we want them to get their feet on the ground. But in the meantime, we have a playground that's here. The kids are hanging out. We got a basketball goal. You know, the teenagers are playing, and our congregation has really embraced them. And so it's been just a really beautiful thing to watch.
Sounds like Harbor UMC has a tremendous gift of hospitality.
We do. Yeah, that's one of our spiritual strengths is hospitality. And there was never a question of should we do it or not. We see how much hurt there is in our community, and we were looking for the opportunity to give back. And it just so happened that the Red Cross was that opportunity. And we're thrilled to host them. Absolutely. We just are praying for them every day that they'll be able to find a new place to live.
Tell me how the people of Harbor United Methodist Church are faring, first of all, physically, and then second, how they are keeping their spirits up as you extend the gift of hospitality to the community or even they themselves are coping with loss from the storm?
Well, we've had a handful of families who had significant damage to their home, and others who had, you know, medium to mild damage. But by and large, I mean, the function that, you know, in meeting with the United Methodist ministers, you know, we play a role in meeting the physical needs, but the primary function that we serve is helping them to find meaning and understanding and to provide a place where they can be connected to one another. That's the main thing that we do. And I think that once the shock of the storm went away and people began looking around and wondering, you know, why? And so I think that question of why was what was really sticking out in people's heads. And so that's really been the theme of a lot of our writings, a lot of what we talked about in worship, a lot of the messages, Bible studies, is just trying to make sense of this thing, because it was very random. Those who were impacted by the storm, you know, just in our community, we had a woman come into our church. She has 3 acres of land, tons of trees. She lost 20 trees. None of them hit her house, but there's a family with one tree, and that was the tree that fell right through the middle. And so, how do you make sense of that? Well, that's why we have the church. That's why we worship God. Is God can bring reason to this. God can show us the bigger picture here. And so we see that in each other. Every connection that we've made, every neighbor that we've communicated with that we didn't with before because of the storm, we just see God sort of blooming. One of the really interesting facets of this storm is this thing called Second Spring, which I didn't even know was a thing until after the storm, which is when all of these plants and trees are under duress, as I think kind of as a defense mechanism, they begin to bloom again. And so all of a sudden, in the aftermath of the storm, I thought I was getting sick, but it was actually my allergies, thinking that it was spring. And one of my members came to me and said, you know, I think it's a really beautiful way to describe what's happening right now in our community. You know, we've been under extreme duress, but now it's brought out the best of us. You know, we're talking to our neighbors. You know, we're not caring about the things that we can't control. We're caring about real people and real solutions. And I think that it's just been so beautiful to watch the way the communities come together.
How can you continue to nurture that once routines seem to be reestablished?
You know, we've been encouraging our congregants to be changed by the storm. You know, I think that everyone is wanting to get back to normal, but our encouragement to them is don't get back to normal. Let this storm change you for the better. This storm has shooken us, shooken all of our foundations. And I think it would be, almost a missed opportunity if we didn't allow it to change us and to make us more grateful. And that's really, that's really the paradox of the storm, is that I have heard less complaining in the last month than I have at any point during the year. Even the people who have actually lost the most have done the least amount of complaining, which is extraordinary. I think it's all really shaken us, and it's helped us to realize what's most important. And so no one is forgetting the impact of this storm for a very long time. We're already beginning to see the fruits of it. We lost a lot of physical things. We did, and it's hitting all of our checkbooks. It's hitting our state budget. It's hitting us in a variety of ways, and people have lost their businesses and their homes. But the spiritual impact of the storm has been extraordinary, just extraordinary.
Was that a surprise to you and the people at Harbor UMC?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, I wasn't thinking about this kind of thing happening. But, you know, the scriptures that we study all the time show exactly that. When Christ was, when his body was being broken, when he was under duress, that's precisely when he began to bloom. That's when he was crucified. That's when he was resurrected. And so I was surprised that it didn't happen, because I wasn't, you don't really go through a storm like this very often. But at the same time, it just makes sense that it would happen this way. And I think in this really very tribalized kind of world where people are, value loyalty over truth, where people, value their particular tribe over, their local neighbors, I think this storm really shook us out of that. And it forced us to talk to each other. And we discovered that we actually like one another. That's the crazy thing, is that we actually have more in common than we do. That's different. And so, just so many spiritual benefits of this storm.
Sounds like it's been a real gift to community, a feeling of community within the Wilmington community and beyond. I was also struck by the profoundly spiritual outreach that you're talking about. Sometimes in storm situations, it's X number of cases of water or so much canned goods or so many beds brought in for so many days. And all of that is clearly important and needed in the immediacy. It sounds like that's been an entree for strengthening and a deepening of spirituality and community.
Yeah, it has. It really has. And I think that the realization of that was what our true calling was here, was in a meeting of local Methodist ministers in Wilmington. It was just like 3 or 4 days after the storm. And there was a lot of, it was kind of a fog of charity. I don't mean that in a bad way. There was just so much charity coming in and so many opportunities. So we felt like we had to meet. So when we met, we were sharing of ways we could be in ministry for the community, possibly with each other. And at the end, we really just sort of said, hang on. These things are important. But at the same time, we're not FEMA. We're not the Red Cross. We can assist them in other ways, but our greatest strength, the reason why we exist, is to bring meaning. And so we went from, sharing ways to meet physical needs to, what are we talking about this Sunday? What are we preaching on? How are we, some churches said, I think we're going to have communion this Sunday. Others did, baptism remembrances. That was something that I did. And at the end, I asked for I kind of did something I'd never done before. It was a spontaneous baptism. I said, if someone wants to give their life to Christ today and be baptized today, I invite you to come forward. And there was a teenage girl who did that, and another woman who did as well. And she had, this is the truly remarkable thing. She came to be baptized, to give her life to Christ. And just 2 days prior, I had spoken to her, and she told me that she had lost her house. And she said that this was the worst thing that's ever happened to her. And when I baptized her, I was like, wow, now the storm is the best thing that's ever happened to you. And so it's just amazing the way that God can just turn tragedy and grief and hardship and just turn it on its head and bring us closer to him through it.
How are you sustaining each other in the cluster of clergy, and how are you sustaining yourself in the midst of this as you are pouring out your spirit to others? How are you refilling your own spirit?
That's been hard. It's been very hard. Thankfully, our bishop met with us pretty soon after the storm and addressed some of those things, and it was a very healing time for us to sing together and to just be in communion with one another. That in and of itself did so much. But I think also giving ourselves permission to take a break and to recognize that we have limits. Admittedly, there were 2 or 3 times during the aftermath of the storm where I just felt burned out. And we're a month in, and I'm still feeling that way sometimes. And so thankfully, we had prepared ourselves mentally and spiritually before the storm. We knew this was going to be happening. And so we've been staying in touch with one another, encouraging one another via message and texting. And the Methodist Church has been incredibly supportive all the way from the DS to the bishop to other local ministers. And so I think the biggest benefit has been connection. Just know that we're not alone. And every time I can share my story with someone and I can listen to someone else's story, that helps me so much mentally and emotionally and spiritually.
Russ, this is a profound story, particularly, I'm searching for a word here. It's enlightening. It's I don't know, a whole new perspective, because in the midst of storm stuff, you can get bogged down in the details, and details are important, but then you can be empty. And what you've talked about is filling one reserve so that there's strength to lead out and strength to work in the midst of the moment. That's a tremendous witness, and I'm grateful for hearing it personally.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's all glory goes to God. God has been so alive here since the storm. It's just been amazing to watch.
Thanks for listening to the Stormcast. If you'd like to give to North Carolina Conference Disaster Response, visit nccumc.org/disaster, where 100% of your gift goes towards response in North Carolina. Thank you to Reverend Dr. Art McClanahan and the Iowa Conference for giving time to make this podcast episode. To hear more stories of generosity and our other podcasts, visit nccumc.fm.